This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Patrick Johnson.
We want to talk specifically today about the challenges facing journalism and broadcasting programs today. Patrick, this is your final program with us. You are moving on to another institution.
It is, yeah. I will be moving on to Indiana University Northwest to be an assistant professor in their communications department.
All right. Still continuing, I guess, in the same type of program, just at a different institution. But no matter where you go, there are certain challenges, I believe, facing journalism and broadcasting programs today. And since both of you teach these subjects, perhaps we could elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the big challenges that's facing programs that are teaching journalism is there's no longer clear divisions between different types of journalism. Right, there's no longer just print journalism or just video or just photojournalism or just radio, right? People are often expected to do all of them, not in every case, but for students to get them out into the real world, they need to have all of the skills, right? They can't just learn that. And so I think where it becomes hard is finding people who weren't raised in an environment where you had to be skilled at everything to be able to teach the students the skills that they need.
I think you have to be able to adapt if you don't. I had to. And fortunately for me, I was a broadcast minor as a print major. But nonetheless, midway through my career, in the last few years as a print journalist, I had to adapt. And I had coworkers that had never had any experience in front of a microphone or using a camera or a video recorder. And so I think that's probably the biggest change that I've noticed in my time in the field, and the fact that students need to be able to be adaptable. They need to be able to recognize how to write in different styles, the case of broadcast and the case of brevity, whereas print, the strength is being able to explain an issue and get to the heart of the issue and do some more investigative pieces and do some more length, long-form journalism.
And you just brought up the point I was going to make, or the question I was going to ask. If you're expected to do all these different forms of journalism, can you write them all in the same way, or do you feel, I guess, Patrick, do you believe there are still different writing styles? If you're writing something for television and then you go to write that same story, for example, to the station's website, do you need to change that copy in some ways?
I think you absolutely need to change the copy, and that was one of the biggest struggles that I faced even before coming here when I was teaching journalism classes out in Colorado, was students would just take the script that they had written for their video package, and when they uploaded it online, they would copy and paste it, and then they thought that they were good to go. But the problem is, we read things very differently than we hear things. People's attention spans are very different. So like Will was saying, if it's, you know, written journalism, whether that's, you know, on the web or a newspaper, right, you can go way more in depth. You can be way more precise about what you're saying, because people can reread things. They can take time to digest it if they need to, and they can come back to it. If you're doing something for a news piece, one, you're going to be very limited on your time. Right, you're going to be given a set time for a news show, and you have to fit that. But you also have to make sure everything is clear and easily understood the first time it goes around. I don't think many people are pausing and rewinding to miss what they heard on a newscast.
I will say, as a career, my entire career has been in radio. So writing, not just writing for the web, but then thinking in terms of visuals. And we still don't do much video at Tri-States Public Radio, but certainly still photographs or graphs, things like that, elements you can add to, especially an in-depth, longer story that you're posting to the website. You do need some sort of visual elements to break up that long piece of text.
And I agree. And I would agree also that I don't think very many news agencies, outlets, organizations that have been traditionally one and not the other and are adapting to each other, whereas at broadcast are trying to adapt and put more long-form journalism online, whereas newspapers are trying to adapt to more videos and more visual features. They're doing it, but they're just not doing it, I don't think, in my mind, as well as their counterparts in the opposite field, or the opposite media, if you will. Outside of maybe the major markets where a Washington Post or a New York Times, and where they have the resources and the expertise to do that, I don't see that. But we're still building on that. And I think that's where we as educators still come in. And I think we're still trying to get this point across. And I think some of these newsrooms probably just don't have the resources to do that. But I think we're still educating those future journalists to distinguish between the two and notice that they need to learn both sides of this trade.
Yeah, I think it's important to teach the students, you know, the standard principles of journalism aren't different, right? The goals, the objectives, what you should be doing with it. But they need to be able to think about every limitation and opportunity of each type of media, right? Even the difference between radio and television. You're both speaking the stuff, but like you said, we don't have the opportunity to have visuals here. You know, maybe we could put something on the website when it goes on, but people might not listen to it on the website if they're listening to it in their car, on their headphones while doing other stuff. We don't know. So you need to be more descriptive visually when we're talking about things on the radio, whereas if it's for video, we can just put up the image for people to see.
I think that's a good point. I think news organizations need to be able to develop a judgment and to be able to discern what is the best application here. You work at a newspaper and you're covering breaking news, obviously get still photos and get videos. Whereas in other cases where you're covering an issue that doesn't present itself for a photogenic opportunity, then you decide otherwise. I think you have to make those decisions on a case-by-case basis and have that developed judgment.
I imagine there will always be students who are passionate about journalism and broadcasting and are drawn to programs because they have a passion for it. But we talked last week about an impoverished reporter out in Maryland and the low wages that are generally paid, especially in smaller markets, and starting jobs for broadcasters and journalists. Is that a particular challenge today for journalism and broadcasting programs, or is that something that has pretty much always existed for these programs?
I would say that's always existed. And I can, you know, I look back and think about, you know, colleagues that I had and worked with whose notebooks I couldn't carry, meaning they were just so far more advanced and talented than I was. Yet I've remained in this industry for whatever reason. But they've gone on to public relations or gone into business, or some have gone to law school or something or other, and they've ended up having very rewarding and exciting careers elsewhere. But I think about what that does for the talent base that we have and that we've lost.
Yeah, I think it's a problem that has always existed, right? We talked about it last week. This, you know, lack of fair pay or decent pay for journalists isn't a new thing that just started. It's been a continuing thing for a while. You were talking, Rich, last week about, you know, how little you made at your first job. But the one thing that I think that has changed, and we talked about it again, is the cost of tuition is continually rising, but the wages are pretty much staying stagnant for their starting wages, right? So I do think that there probably is a little more trepidation or concern from wannabe journalism students who think, hey, can I pay off my student loans after I graduate with this? Will I be able to live affordably? And I think a lot of them are drawn to more lucrative careers, you know, being in PR, being in advertising, being on-air talent for major sports networks. And I do think most people who think about that, they tend to think about, I'm going to be on ESPN, you know, I'm going to be announcing Monday Night Football. And sure, that's a great job. If you can get that job, you're going to make a lot of money. But you're not going to make a lot of money as a local sports anchor in a small market, right? And so I think that's one of the issues.
As I mentioned at the outset of the program, Patrick is on his way to a new endeavor and challenge. Thanks. I'm sorry your stay at Western and with the Shop Talk panel was so short, but good luck with your future plans.
Well, thank you, and I very much appreciated being on the show with you guys.
Yeah, good luck, Patrick.
Thank you.
All right. Patrick will be gone, but our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.